So Lord, we want to thank you for all these testimonies, Lord. Lord, we know there's so many more, Lord, that won't necessarily be shared in front of people, Lord. But you know every heart. You know every person that's been here this year, Lord, that's come faithfully to church Sunday after Sunday. And you know, Lord, those whose lives you've changed, Lord. You know every testimony because you have caused those testimonies to happen, Lord. Because even in our failures, God, even in our imperfections, Lord, even when we've missed it, you have built testimonies into our lives. You have built monuments this year. And we want to thank you that today we can almost in the spirit just build another monument again and say thank you, Lord, for all the other journeys, Lord, all the other monuments that have been built. The whole journey this year has been so amazing, Lord. We just want to thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Lord, I pray for everyone this holiday, God, that we would be reminded of what you have done, Lord. And as we think about what you have done, Lord, we also want to look forward to what you are going to do, Lord. Even as the word came from class this morning, Lord, that you truly want to use us as a church to bring people into this bubble of joy, God. You want to bring people into this bubble of your spirit which produces freedom, Lord, where there's no more bondage, Lord, no more suffering, Lord, no more pain. There's the joy and the peace which comes from knowing Christ. And so we thank you, Lord, that as we look back, we can also look forward, Father. This morning, we just stand still and we thank you for what you've done, Jesus. We just say, yes, Lord, it's all about you. Our lives and our hearts are all about you, Jesus. And we're just thankful this morning that we can be here and hear your word this morning and be encouraged, Lord, and be changed in your presence. We open our hearts and our minds to be changed by you this morning, Lord Jesus. Come, do what you do best, Lord. We surrender to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Thank you, band. Let's give the band a hand again. They're amazing. You know, when God uses rugby players to lead worship, then there's revival on its way. Amen. Love you, Gerard. Bye, Fio. Cheetahs will do well in 2016. We prophesy that. Amen. You know, it's wonderful. God is moving all the time. Amen. Amen. God is busy talking to us. God is busy saying stuff. And you know, I'm sure he said stuff to you this morning. I'm sure he said stuff to you now during the worship. And it's so amazing that he can choose even the word and the preaching to speak to you this morning. I trust that he will do that. Amen. Because God is speaking. God is talking to us. God is always excited to communicate with us. And just want to encourage you to open your hearts again and your minds this morning to hear what God is saying this morning. I just want to read a quick story here, just an illustration. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. So just imagine this guy, he's looking for this painting or this portrait of peace, perfect peace. And so not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions started to grow. Only two pictures remained veiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. I know the Afrikaners here, you're already lost, okay? But just stay with me, okay? This is big words here. I didn't write this, okay? Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this must have been the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks, at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. And with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. Do you think the guy found his picture of perfect peace? See, at the moment in our nation, anyone realize that the Minister of Finances has just been fired? Anyone know that the inflation rate is, or not the inflation rate, but anyone know that the rand dollar is just crazy? The rand pound is even worse. The rand euro, it seems like our currency is falling. It seems like there's economic crisis upon crisis. It seems like there's governmental crisis. It seems like our nation is going down. And it actually is. The facts say that it is. So I'm wondering now about the calm. You know the thing about the calm and the storm. I'm wondering now about the calm and the storm in our nation as it stands. And I'm also wondering at the moment about the calm and the storm in your life right now. So I ask the question, is it the calm before the storm? Is the storm about to come? Or is it the calm after the storm as the storm passed? Or is it the calm in the storm? I don't know where you find yourself today, and I don't know what you're thinking about when it comes to the future of your life, the future of this nation, the future of the nations of the world. But isn't it the cry of every person in this country, and wherever we go, isn't it the cry, can we just have peace? I'm sure all of us have asked for that and have prayed that. God, can we just have peace? And you see that when we move into this time of the year, it's supposed to be a year filled with peace, or a time of the year where there's supposed to be peace. Isn't that so? I mean, we talk about Christmas, we talk about the birth of Jesus, we talk about all these celebrations, but is it really a time of peace? And I remember when I was visiting my parents a couple of years ago, I challenged them a lot on this whole thing of Christmas, and I'm not going to go into that now, whether we celebrate Christmas or not, but I asked them a question, and I challenged them because I was challenged at the time. I heard sermons and teachings on whether, you know, Christ was really born on the 25th of December, and I don't think it really matters that much, but one thing I was challenged by is this time of year a really blessed time? If we think about Christmas over the last couple of years, is it a blessed time? I heard about tsunamis that happened at this time of the year. I heard about fires. I've heard about lots of death on the roads, lots of suicides, lots of depression. So at this time of the year, I have to ask myself, is it really blessed? And so then I wonder, you know, what is it about this time of the year? Because I think it's blessed for many of us that live in wealthy times, and we've got lots of money because, you know, this is the time where money is given and received and stuff is given and received. So we find our peace in that often, but what about people that don't have that? Don't they find themselves going the opposite way? Even more depressed, even more confronted with their own loneliness, and they don't have family to go to, they don't have the life that we normally have. So I remember challenging my parents, and I said to them, you know, because we had fires on the farm many times over December. There were fires that we had to put out. It was specifically that time of year where I looked back and I just realized there's, why does it happen? Why does my brother always complain that, you know, this time of the year when all the workers are going away on leave, now the water has to stop. So something happens to the water. The water's messing and leaking, and the sheep and cattle don't have water. So there's like a lot of cursing going on because, no, it has to happen now. As soon as we go away on holiday, or as soon as the workers go away, then something goes wrong. You hear this all the time. Something's going wrong over this time of the year. Something's going wrong. And you hear the frustration. And you ask yourself, is this time of the year really blessed? But I don't want to focus on that this morning. I just want to get you thinking, because I want you to have a different December this year. Amen. I want you to have a December filled with peace. Not peace because of your circumstances. Not peace because of what happens or what doesn't happen. Peace that only comes from Christ. Because Jesus Christ brought a reign of peace in this world. Amen. As believers, we've got to agree with that. We've got to say, thank you, Jesus, that you came to bring peace. So this morning, I just want to look at that. I just want to look at what is the peace that Christ came to bring. And we'll probably hear this a number of times this holiday, but we'll hear about Luke chapter 2, verse 14, where the angels came to announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds and said, they broke out in praise and said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. We'll probably hear that sometime, whether it's singing carols or whether it's just being involved with Christmas somehow. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Not peace for everyone. Peace among those whom God is pleased. Peace among those who have righteousness with God, who have right standing with God. Peace with those who know Christ in his fullness. And so one thing they really wanted to celebrate, and one thing the angels focused on, was the fact that Jesus came, and he has come now to bring peace on earth. Paul started all his letters with the following. He said, grace and peace to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God came to do a lot of things. Jesus Christ came to do a lot of things. But one thing that I want to focus on this morning that he came to do is he came to bring peace. But I want to look at that peace this morning. And I want you to make it your own. I've made a little acronym from the word peace. Five things that I want us to look at. Peace is defined as prosperity. It's defined as rest. It's defined as quietness. It's defined as to set at one again. It's very similar to salvation, wouldn't you say? The word salvation is prosperity. It talks about life in abundance. It talks about total health and total well-being. Christ came to bring us salvation. He came to bring us peace in our hearts, in every area of our lives. Isn't that so? And so I want to look at a few things this morning. Where do we need peace in our lives before we just define what Christ has brought us? What is this peace? First of all, I can ask you, do you have peace in your mind and in your thoughts? Is your mind currently filled with past failures or disappointments? Or do you really have peace in your thoughts and in your mind? Then the second area of your life at the moment you can look at is in your emotions and your feelings. You know, do you feel peace with your emotions? And how do you feel at the moment? Because that's important. You know, sometimes we say, no, but it's not about feelings. And yes, to a degree, but God wants us to feel at peace. Amen. So it's not only in your thoughts, it's in your feelings. So are your feelings that of anger or bitterness? Or are you fearful or frustrated? Or how much peace do you have in your life and in your, specifically in your feelings right now? I want you to be honest this morning that God can come and meet you there where you're at. And then in terms of your will and your desires, you know, do you know the will of God for your life? Or are you filled with conflict between what's God's will and what's your own will? Do you know what God wants? And is your will surrendered to him? And are your desires in line with his desires? Because I believe if they're not, you probably find yourself with a lack of peace. Isn't that so? Anyone identified with that before? Because God loves us too much, guys. He's not going to let us go. He's not just going to let our desires and our will follow our own ways. He's going to want us the whole time. But he does it gently. Brings our will and our desires in line with that of his. And then in terms of relationships, you know, do you have peace there? Or do you let other people rob you of an inner peace? How's your relationships? How are your relationships? How's your peace in terms of the people around you? And then number five is your circumstances. Do you let your circumstances determine your peace and dictate your state of peace? Or are you at peace in the storm where everything around you, like that little bird sitting right under the torrential waterfall, just at a place of peace? Or do you always want your circumstances to change in order for you to have peace? Because you can move from place to place. You can move from, you know, job to job. You can move from school to school, from university to university. You can move from family to family, from church to church, for that matter. And your circumstances might not change. Is that determining your peace? And then in your body, you know, let's be honest. Let's look at our bodies. Are our bodies in a state of stress? Do we have stomach pains and ulcers and sickness in our body because of agitation, nervousness? Are we at peace in our physical bodies? Somewhere along the line, all of us have to look at these things and say, somewhere I need peace in some of these areas. Because does anyone here, I want you to be honest, does anyone here have perfect peace in all of these areas of your life? Please, I'd love you to raise your hand because I want you to pray for me. Does anyone have peace in all of these areas? Are you all sorted? Then I think you should be the pastor. Maybe not. Pastors also have lots of struggles. Amen. But we all have struggles. And so God wants to come and meet us this morning. And he wants you to open your heart. I'm really trusting this morning that God would come to speak to you very specifically in this area of your life. Because I want you to leave here this morning. And I believe God wants you to go into this December holiday not thinking of, oh, all the turmoil that could happen. Oh, it's not such a blessed time of the year. Oh, it's, you know, we're heading into the storm now. And so, boof, there goes my peace. And oh, shucks, I'm not going to spend so much quiet time because I've got such a busy holiday program. And there your peace goes. And you come back and you're tired and you're stressed. And oh, I've missed God. I don't want you to do that. I want you to go here into this holiday and come back next year with an incredible experience of God's peace in your life. Incredible knowledge that God is in control. That God loves you. So I want you to remember this. You can write down the word peace. P-E-A-C-E. Okay, let's spell it. P-E-A-C-E. It's easy. There's one P. There's two E's. There's one A and one C. Acronym for the word peace. First of all, what is peace? Peace, first of all, is a promise from God. Okay? The P stands for promise. So write that down. Promise. Peace I leave with you. Jesus Christ said the following in John chapter 14. He said to his disciples, my peace I give to you. Isn't that amazing? Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus Christ came to promise us peace on earth. Came to give his disciples peace. And you know what? That same peace he left with us. You know what that peace actually is? It's his presence. Because guess what he was talking about in this passage? He was talking about leaving his presence with us in the form of his Holy Spirit. Jesus left his Spirit with his disciples and he said, I'm going to leave you. And they were all getting stressed because in the beginning of chapter 14, the guy said, but where are you going? We're not going to make it without you, Jesus. Please just stay. You know what? I'm preparing you a house. I'm preparing you a mansion. But you know, for now, your time on earth, I'm leaving you my presence. I'm leaving you my Spirit. And I think if we read through the book of the Gospels and we see how Jesus walked and wherever he walked, you know what happened? Peace. And sometimes there was conflict and turmoil, but you know, eventually just came to establish order. Isn't that so? Jesus came to bring order. Jesus came to bring peace. Right at the beginning of creation, there was chaos and the Holy Spirit came to bring order. Jesus came to bring order. But it's a promise from God. And you see, he says here, in total contrast to the world, because the world is going to give you a peace that comes from your possessions, the things that you own, the people in your life even, the success of your life. That's what the world is going to say, that the peace comes only by this. You must have the right stuff. You must do the right stuff. You must be successful. And you must be the best you that you can be. And then you're going to have peace. Peace doesn't come from ourselves, you see. Peace will never come from ourselves. We have to recognize that, but it's a promise from God. It's a gift from God. John chapter 16, Jesus goes on and he tells his disciples, these things I've spoken to you. So he's giving them a lot of teachings and he says, I've spoken all these things to you so that in me you may have peace. Isn't that amazing? I'm doing all these teachings that you can have peace in your life. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So this morning, I want to say to you that Jesus' spoken word is our peace. You know what? That leaves us with the question, what is God saying to us? Because if we don't hear the voice of God, if we're not reading scripture, if we're not knowing what God is saying to us right now, you know what? We're not going to have peace. If we don't know the word of God and live by the word of God and embrace the word of God, we're going to not have peace. Because guess what? The challenge is we're going to have tribulation. Jesus said we will have challenges. Tribulation speaks of pressure, speaks of afflictions, it speaks of anguish, burdens, even persecution, trials and trouble. We're going to have it in this world. Sure, all of us have had some challenges this year. We can say we've been through the fact that we're just human. We've had tribulation this year. We've had difficult people in our lives. We've had difficult circumstances, but Jesus promised it. But he said, listen here, you've got to hear my word, because my word will give you peace. Isn't that so? I'll never forget, someone left a word for me on my car. I don't know, it's someone outside the church here left a little scripture. Romans 16 verse 19, I think it was. I put it up on my wall. It says that soon that you will trample the enemy under your feet. Something to that regard. I can't quite. Romans 16, 19 says, you know, that you're going to trample the enemy under your feet. Because I've overcome. Jesus speaking. Or Paul writing to the Romans saying that you're going to have victory in Christ. And I was so encouraged by that scripture at the time, because I needed that. I needed that encouragement. I needed to know God's word is true and I'm going to stamp on Satan and his demons. And I was so thankful for the word of God again. And I want to say, in this time of giving and receiving gifts, you know what? The greatest gift that anyone can receive is the peace of Christ. Isn't that so? And we can actually bring that peace. If we have that peace, we can bring it to the other people that don't have it. The peace of knowing Jesus. You see, many times we want Jesus to do more for us. We sort of forget that he's already come to establish peace. And all we have to do is just receive it. Because it's a promise. It's a promise and it's a free gift. The second thing the word peace represents. We all know the scripture. Philippians 4. Let's read it in the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Just want to say that again. Don't worry about anything. You know what the New King James says? Be anxious for nothing. What does nothing mean? Nothing. Nothing. Don't worry about anything. Amen. Instead, it doesn't help not to worry. You've got to do something else, because if you don't do something else, what are you going to do? You're going to worry. Isn't that so? We as people always default to something. Amen? So if we don't do something else, we're going to default to the sinful nature, which is worry. Because that's what we do. We worry. But he says, yeah, instead of worrying about anything, instead pray about everything. Amen? Pray about all your challenges. Pray about all the worries that could possibly start to come your way. And then tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. And that's why we did what we did this morning, to get us into a culture of thanksgiving, because thanksgiving and praise is so crucial to have peace. Thankfulness and peace go hand in hand, I believe. And then he said, there's a promise here, then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. True peace is a supernatural phenomenon. Amen. Because what do we do as people? We sometimes work out, just, I can't believe I've got peace now. This is amazing. Maybe I should just cause myself some hassles here, because I can't have, this peace is weird. I should be stressing now. So let's start stressing. That's what we do, because we're trying to work out this supernatural, exceeding understanding type of peace. But that's what it is. Peace is not only a promise from God. It exceeds our understanding. It exceeds our natural abilities. And what does it do? It says here, his peace will guard your hearts and your minds. I believe if we really want Christ to guard our hearts and our minds, you know what? We've got to walk into his peace. If we don't operate out of a place of peace, you know what? Our hearts and minds are open for the enemy and they're not guarded. It's like a wall, putting up a wall around your heart. If you want to put up a wall of protection, not a wall of fear, or, you know, the typical walls that we put up, don't touch this. Just a wall of protection, because the devil isn't supposed to come in. And how do you do that? You operate in a place of peace. Otherwise, your hearts and your minds are open targets for the devil. See, Jesus made a way. He said, listen, that's supernatural. It's going to exceed your understanding. It's a byproduct. The guarding of our hearts and our minds is a natural outflow. It's a byproduct when we walk into that peace. We don't have to try to guard our hearts and our minds. Christ comes to guard your heart. His peace guards your heart. And you know what? You can be, people can try to offend you. People can shout at you and be negative towards you. Circumstances can come. And you know what? You just say, thank you, Jesus, that your peace remains. You may remain in that place of peace. Isaiah 26, great scripture to memorize. From the Amplified Version, it goes like this. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace. Isn't that amazing? Isn't this what we want as people? Perfect and constant peace. That's like that picture. That's the picture that the guy was trying to find. But you know, the perfect picture of peace is Christ on the cross saying, it is finished. I've done it for you. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you. So it's an attitude of the mind. It's a focus of the mind. It's where our mind is, that's where our peace will be. And if our minds are wandering and thinking and stressing about all sorts of things, you know what? We're not going to be in constant and perfect peace. Because it says here both its inclination and its character. And that's what the Bible talks about, a renewing of the mind. We need to renew our minds because that's where peace starts. It starts up here. And that's why that was the first on the list. Because the mind determines whether the body's going to have peace. The mind determines whether your feelings are going to have peace. The mind determines whether your circumstances are going to determine your peace or not. Your mind determines whether relationships will have peace or not. It's all about the thoughts. And Sean preached an amazing sermon a couple of weeks ago about the heart, a heart after the king. And a heart and a mind in the Bible is very connected. But it's all about our minds as well. Because as a man thinks in his heart, and that talks about a mind, the mind and the heart are connected. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you think negative and stressful and worrying thoughts, then you will worry, you will stress, and you won't be at peace. But you know what? If you focus, if your mind is stayed on Christ, then you will have peace. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. I think that's what a focused mind is, a mind that is fully committed to Christ, a mind that leans on Christ and trusts in Christ, because that's what the New King James Version says. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Amplified just expands on this whole thing of trust. Trust is a commitment to God, a leaning on him and a hoping confidently in him, just as Gerda shared. Do you trust him enough? Because he loves you. You know what happens when we do this? Peace is going to spread to every area of our lives. Amen? It's an attitude of the mind. A guy called Lloyd Ogilvie said the following in a sermon that he wrote. He said, peace results from a disciplined life of prayer which manifests intimate fellowship with God and the assurance of adequate resources from Him. And I read that again. Peace results from a disciplined life of prayer which manifests intimate fellowship with God and the assurance that he will provide, assurance of adequate resources. And then he goes on to say, trusting in the sovereign God means leaving the results to him, knowing that our calling is not to be successful, but to be faithful. So many times we try to make our lives successful, we try to work things out, but God just says, be faithful, I will give you the success, because I want to prosper, I want to give you success, I want to give you breakthrough. I don't want you to suffer the whole time, but I want you to be faithful. To commit and to guard your heart and to keep focused on me. Amen? An attitude of the mind. That's what the A stands for. Romans 8 verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. If you really want life, abundant life that Jesus promised, you know what? It starts in your mind. And that's amazing. Isn't the mind the first thing that we have to give over to Christ? We give our hearts to Christ, and that's the easy part, is to give our hearts to Christ. But you know where the discipleship process really comes in? Is the renewing of the mind. We have to constantly give our minds to Christ. And to let the sinful nature not control our mind, but to let the Spirit control our minds. See, we either open the door to the sinful nature or to the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. They're mutually exclusive. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it when I've messed up and fallen and disappointed God. I've seen there's been a moment where the Holy Spirit has said, don't do this. Don't go there. And then you know what he does? If you don't obey like that, he allows you to miss it. Because he cannot come in there and control that which you have decided. Either follow the flesh or you follow the Spirit. Guys, I'm one of you. The lust thing, the porn thing, whatever. The choice you make. Hey, where do us guys sickle? And then do you open the door to the sinful nature or do you open the door to the Spirit and say, whoa. Ladies, don't know where you struggle, or comfort eating, or trying to be this beauty queen that's on the covers of magazines. You give in to that fleshly desire to just, you're feeling depressed or down, so you'll just eat some comfort food now, or start to feel sorry for yourself, or whatever, or start to strive. Same with guys. You're not feeling so good about yourself, so you go to various things. Watch TV the whole time, veg. But you see, the Holy Spirit cannot operate in a place where we open the door to the flesh. And he forgives us. I'm not saying you're condemned forever, but I'm saying in that moment, the Spirit cannot force us. He gives us that choice. And then we have to repent. And that's great. You get forgiveness. You know, but why go through that pain of having to repent? Why not just obey and let the mind be controlled by the Spirit? Am I speaking to anyone here this morning? I know I'm touching on specific stuff here this morning, but that's good. You see, God wants to touch us in our minds. Because so many times we want to be spiritual and out there, but you know, God wants us to just make rational, spiritful decisions to say no. And so where are you going to find your peace this holiday? Are you going to find it in everything you get or even finding it in giving? Because we can many times find peace in giving, and God says, find your peace when your mind is controlled by the Spirit. Because it's an attitude of the mind. And then number four, the C, the big C. Because it's an attitude of the mind, peace is a choice. Colossians 3. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule in your hearts. That rule talks about acting as an umpire continually. In other words, watch some cricket this holiday and you'll see the umpires have to make the final decision. So guess who's making the final decision in our lives? Or who should be? It's the choice to say, is the peace from Christ going to decide and settle with, with finality all questions that arise in our minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. So it's a long amplified version, but just go read the shorter versions. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts to which you were called. It's as simple as that. It's a choice that we have to make. And so guess what? The storm can be hot, tough. The country can go down. The stuff is just happening all around you, and you can still choose that place where Jesus told his disciples in the boat, listen here, you can choose this peace now. In fact, you can speak to the storm. But sometimes we mustn't speak to the storms. We must speak to our own hearts and say, be at peace, my soul. What did David do? Be still, my soul. I love the song that we sang. The last one. In the stillness, in the quietness, I know that you're God. Peace, be still. And tell your soul to be still now. It's a choice, guys, that we have to make. Because we want Jesus to come and bring us peace and all this. And yes, he does. He gives us the grace to do it. That's why Paul says, grace and peace to you. The grace is the ability to choose that peace. Amen. So are we going to make a choice for peace? Not only this time of year, but I believe into next year. I believe if we can do this in 2016 and walk in more peace than we had this year, then you know what? We've moved on with our relationship. We're growing in Christ. When more and more opportunities will come to steal our peace, and more we'll just say, thank you, Lord, for your peace. In the situation, in the storm. I just, you know, talking about this whole thing of peace, it's just, you know, when you've got three kids, things can get quite hectic in the house sometimes, you know. I don't know if anyone can identify with me. But you know, then the kids start getting out of hand, and you know, then people start to raise their voices, like the parents as well, okay? I'm not going to say which parent raises their voice more, but I mean, the parents start to raise their voice, okay? And the kids start to raise their voice, and there's a bit of chaos, and then you just, you know, you've got to, for me, I try to run away. I just wish I could run, then I just know the more I run away, the my responsibility falls off the table, and then I can't run away. Then you just have to bring that peace to the situation and bring that peace to your own life. You have to choose in that moment, am I going to operate out of a place of, you know, where the storm is raging and I'm just going to climb in and add to that storm, or I'm going to bring peace to the storm? Then it says, be thankful. Once again, this thing of thanksgiving and peace just go together. It says, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. See, it's amazing if you read this whole book of, or chapter in Colossians, it's all about the Christian life. It's all about Paul saying, if you were raised with Christ, if Christ is really living in you, if you're seated in heavenly places, then do the following. And there's a lot of stuff to do as a Christian. Colossians 3 talks about all the stuff that we should be doing as Christians because we've been raised with Christ. And I want to say this morning, if you've been raised with Christ, and I trust that all of us have been raised with Christ, you know what? We can choose peace. We can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And be thankful. And then this is the best news of all. This peace isn't temporary. Tell someone next to you, this peace is not temporary. This peace is going to last forever, guys. It's everlasting. Listen to Ezekiel 37. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Talking to, about the Israelites, and that God is going to come and save them out of bondage and all this stuff. And I'm going to make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. Isn't this amazing? True peace is not only a promise, it's an everlasting promise. It's an everlasting covenant. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to establish a covenant of peace with his people. And he says, I'm going to put my sanctuary in their midst. I'm going to put my holy dwelling place in their midst. And for us, for today, God doesn't dwell, yeah, in this building. He doesn't dwell in a church building. He doesn't dwell out there somewhere. You know where he chooses to dwell? In each of our hearts. He's choosing to dwell in your heart this morning. He's choosing to dwell in your heart forever if you'd allow him. If you'd allow him to come in and to establish his covenant of peace in your heart, to establish his sanctuary in your midst, you know what? You don't have to walk with unpeace. You can have peace all the time. Isn't that good news for us this morning? Everlasting peace, guys. Tell someone next to you, this is amazing news. You know, if we're going to walk in this peace next year, I believe God is going to use us to do amazing things. We'll discern stuff better. We'll put our emotions aside, or emotions not aside, but they'll be subject to the fact that we're at peace, and we can make decisions better. We can see the kingdom of God come better. We can just live better lives. Christ-centered lives. When we're challenged and when we're supposed to be frustrated, there's supposed to be a storm, we can just say, thank you, Lord, for your reign of peace in my life. For your holy presence in my life. Last scripture before we pray this morning. Isaiah 6:9-7. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. We all know the scripture. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Isn't that good for our nation? The government is upon Jesus' shoulder. Praise the Here. Okay, his government and his rule, it's all about him, and his name will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then this is one of my favorite verses, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Everlasting peace. Everlasting peace. God is going to establish his throne because he's God, and guess what? He can do it, and his ways are righteous and just. Doesn't matter what situations look like in our lives or where we find ourselves, Jesus is going to establish his government, and it's going to increase year after year, day after day, as more people come to know him, as more people come to understand that he came to establish a reign of peace. And you know where it starts? In each of our lives. And it spreads to more people. There's so many people, guys, out there that need peace. Amen. So many people that need to have peace established in their lives because they're running after everything and it's not fulfilling them. His peace is a promise from God. It exceeds understanding. It's an attitude of the mind. It's a choice that we have to make. And it's everlasting. So this morning, I want us to respond. I want us to close our eyes right now. And I want us to pray for one another. Because I know each person is struggling here with some area of your life that you don't have complete peace in. Just know it. No one is perfect. So there's some area of your life that I want you this morning honestly to bring before God and to bring with an accountability partner, with a friend. I want to ask you to be honest this morning. I want to ask you to just bring it to God. Where do you need peace? Do you need it in your mind specifically, in your thoughts? Is it in your emotions? Is it in your relationships? Is it in your circumstances? Is it in your will or your desires? Are you not sure where you're going with God? Or is it in your physical body? Does your physical body need healing this morning? So I believe God can bring peace to physical bodies right now. But many times it starts right there in the mind or the thoughts. So I want us to close our eyes right now. I want you to be honest with the Lord, each one of us. I want you to spend time with God right now and ask God, God, show me where am I not at peace? Because Jesus, you brought a reign of peace and that reign of peace applies to me. I want it in my life, Lord. I want you to reign and rule in my life. I want you to bring peace where there's storms and circumstances that I'm thinking about or sins that I'm just struggling with, Lord. Whatever it is, God, I want you to bring peace into this area of my life.